Once an executor has fulfilled his obligations under the Inheritance Tax Act, he may apply for a certificate of discharge. The certificate discharges the executor from any further claims for tax on property within the estate. Once an executor has a certificate of discharge, it is highly unlikely that he or she will be held to be personally liable for any additional tax due from the estate. Certain conditions must be satisfied before a certificate of discharge will be issued. In essence, the certificate will only be issued when all returns have been submitted and when all taxes have been finally settled. The executors must apply for a certificate. A certificate will not normally be issued until 2 years from the date of death, although they may make an exception and issue the certificate if all returns have been filed and it is clear to the board that all tax liabilities have been settled. A certificate will not discharge an executor or personal representative from liability in cases where tax has been lost, either due to fraud or a failure to disclose material facts. In practice, potentially exempt transfers made by the deceased in the 7 years before death are often a headache for the executors. Since the late 1980s, there is no formal requirement for an individual to disclose details of pets to the revenue whilst he is still alive. There is no box on the self-assessment return for an individual to tell the revenue about pets he has made in the previous tax year. Pets only need to be disclosed to the revenue if the donor dies within 7 years. At this point, the donor is obviously not in a position to give details of his pets, so this responsibility is left either to the executors or to the donee. As we mentioned earlier, the executors have a statutory duty to provide details of pets on the form IHT 400, and this normally absolves the donee from having to do the same. As we know, tax on pets in the 7 years before death is normally borne by the donee. However, where the revenue has been unable to collect the IHT from the donee, they reserve the right to pursue the executors for the tax. In this event, the executors would settle the tax from the residue of the estate, thereby reducing the share of the residuary legatee. The revenue recognise that this is not particularly fair, and will only chase the executors for the tax when all attempts to extract the IHT from the donee have proved unsuccessful. Actually obtaining information regarding transfers made by the deceased in the 7 years prior to death can often be a very arduous task for the executors. It is less of a problem for chargeable lifetime transfers, as details of such transfers must be reported by the donor to the Inland Revenue. However, ascertaining details of pets often requires some detective work on the part of the executors. The executors have a duty to make the fullest inquiries that are reasonably practicable in the circumstances, so as to discover lifetime transfers. Having done all in their power to discover such transfers, the executors must then make a full disclosure of these transfers to the revenue. Even at this point, the revenue recognise that the executors may not have been able to track down all pets made by the deceased in the 7 years before death. HMRC has therefore confirmed that if the executors have made the fullest inquiries to ascertain lifetime transfers, have obtained a certificate of discharge, and have distributed the estate before a lifetime transfer comes to light, the executors would not normally be pursued for tax on these transfers. In these instances, HMRC would pursue the donee, and if no tax was still forthcoming, the liability would be waived. The penalty provisions in Schedule 55 of Finance Act 2009 also apply to inheritance tax returns. Under the new regime, a £100 penalty will be levied immediately after the due date for filing where the return has not been filed. This £100 penalty will apply whether or not any outstanding tax has been paid. Daily penalties of £10 per day may be levied for returns that are more than 3 months late. These daily penalties will run for a maximum of 90 days. Where a return is over 6 months late, the penalty is the higher of 5% of the tax for the return period, or £300. The same penalty will also apply if a return is more than 12 months late. However, higher penalties will apply where a person fails to submit a return for over 12 months, and the taxpayer has deliberately withheld information from HMRC, which is necessary to assess the tax due. This higher penalty will be either 70% of the tax liability or £300, whichever is greater. If the withholding of information by the taxpayer is deliberate and concealed, this penalty increases to 100% of the tax liability, or £300 if this is greater. Penalties that apply where a person has deliberately withheld information can be reduced for both unprompted and prompted disclosure of the information. Disclosure takes place where a taxpayer tells HMRC about the relevant information and gives HMRC reasonable help in quantifying the tax unpaid as a result of the information being withheld, and allows HMRC access to records to check the amount of unpaid tax. Disclosure is unprompted if it is made when there is no reason to believe that HMRC have discovered or are about to discover the information. The actual reduction in the penalty depends on the quality of the disclosure, including timing, nature, and extent. The table appearing on your screen details the maximum and minimum penalties that could apply. For example, if the taxpayer has deliberately withheld information from HMRC, but without concealing the information, if there is unprompted disclosure, the penalty may be reduced from the maximum of 70% to a minimum of 20%. Note that the minimum penalty is £300. HMRC have the power to reduce the penalty if there are special circumstances. The maximum aggregate penalty, calculated as a percentage of the liability to tax that can be charged in respect of the late filing of a return, is 100% of the tax liability. Late payment penalties must be paid within 30 days from the date the penalty notice is issued. Otherwise, interest will be charged. The taxpayer has a right to appeal against a penalty. Penalties will not be charged if the taxpayer has a reasonable excuse for the late payment. An insufficiency of funds is not a reasonable excuse, unless this insufficiency is due to events outside the taxpayer's control. Relying on a third party, such as an agent or tax advisor, is not a reasonable excuse. A penalty can be levied under Section 245A for a failure to comply with a notice issued, either under Section 219 or under Section 219A. If you recall, Section 219 gives HMRC powers, with tribunal consent, to request information from any person in connection with IHT liabilities. If a person fails to comply with a notice issued under Section 219, he is liable to an initial penalty of up to £300 and a further penalty of up to £60 a day after the failure has been declared by the tribunal. Again, you will note that an application must be made by HMRC to the tribunal if this daily penalty is to be sought. A failure to comply with a Section 219A notice gives rise to a slightly lower penalty. Here, the penalty is an initial penalty of up to £50 and a daily penalty of up to £30 after the issue of a penalty notice by the tribunal. A new penalty regime was introduced in the Finance Act 2007, where returns are submitted to HMRC and proved to be incorrect. The new regime applies for transfers and deaths after the 31st of March 2009. The new penalties will apply where a tax return or claim for a relief contains either a careless inaccuracy or a deliberate inaccuracy, which leads to either an understatement of tax or a false or inflated statement of a loss, or a false or inflated claim to a tax repayment. The new penalty regime has been designed so that if taxpayers take reasonable care when completing their returns, they will not be penalised for an innocent error. Taxpayers will then have to settle any underpaid tax and will be charged interest if the tax is paid late. But no penalty will be added on top.
If taxpayers do not take reasonable care, errors will be penalised. The penalties charged will be higher if the error is deliberate. Disclosing errors to HMRC as early as possible will reduce any penalty due. Different levels of penalty will apply, depending on the seriousness of the offence which gives rise to the error. There are three categories of offences giving rise to errors, as identified below. Firstly, careless action. This simply means a failure to take reasonable care. Secondly, deliberate but not concealed action. This means a case where the error is a deliberate one, but the taxpayer does not make arrangements to conceal it. Finally, deliberate and concealed action. This is the most serious error, as it means the taxpayer made a deliberate mistake on his return, and thereafter made arrangements to conceal it from HMRC, for example by submitting false evidence in support of an inaccurate figure. These errors will give rise to the highest penalty. Reasonable care varies according to the person, their circumstances, and their abilities. HMRC expects every person to keep sufficient records to enable them to submit a complete and accurate tax return. If a return contains more than one error, a penalty is charged for each error.
A penalty can also be levied if a person who is not liable for tax, i.e. a third party, provides false information to HMRC. In this instance, the maximum penalty is £3,000.
The penalties are expressed as a percentage of the potential lost revenue. The potential lost revenue is the amount of tax due or payable as a result of correcting the inaccuracy. The lowest penalties are for the taxpayer's careless action. In these cases, the standard penalty is 30% of the tax lost. However, this penalty can be reduced to zero if the taxpayer discloses the error to HMRC without having been prompted. If a taxpayer discloses a careless error having first been prompted by HMRC, for example, if an error is disclosed after an initial HMRC inquiry, the standard penalty can be reduced to 15%. In cases where a taxpayer error is down to deliberate action, which is not then concealed, the standard penalty is 70% of the tax lost. However, this penalty can be reduced to 20% if the taxpayer discloses the error to HMRC without having been prompted. If a taxpayer discloses a deliberate error having first been prompted by HMRC, the penalty can be reduced to 35%. Finally, in cases where an error is down to deliberate action, which is thereafter concealed by the taxpayer, the standard penalty is 100% of the tax lost. This penalty can be reduced to 30% if the taxpayer discloses the error to HMRC without having been prompted. If a taxpayer discloses a deliberate and concealed error after a prompt from HMRC, the penalty can be reduced to 50%.
There are three practice questions to complete this session.
A return will be required as Frank's estate is not accepted. You are told in the question that Frank made lifetime transfers, ignoring APR, of £120,000 and left an estate worth £250,000 to his son. An estate is accepted if the gross value of the estate, including any transfers in the previous 7 years, is less than the IHT threshold.
As he died in March 2011, we use a threshold of £325,000. Therefore, even though no inheritance tax will be payable in respect of Frank's estate, as it is not accepted, an IHT return will be required. The normal due date for the return is the 12 months from the end of the month of death, i.e. the 31st of March 2012.
Harry's executors will be subject to a penalty for submitting an incorrect return. The error would be due to careless action. HMRC can charge a penalty of 30% of the tax lost as a result of the error. The tax on the return was understated by £8,000. The possible penalty is therefore £2,400. It is likely that the penalty will be reduced, either to 0% for unprompted disclosure, or to 15% for a prompted disclosure.
The return was due to be filed by the 30th of June 2011. As it was not filed by the due date, a £100 fixed penalty will be charged. As the return was outstanding more than 3 months after the due date, HMRC could impose daily penalties of £10 per day for a maximum of 90 days. This could therefore be £900. An additional penalty will be charged as the return is outstanding for more than 6 months. This is calculated as 5% of the liability to tax, i.e. £500. As the return is more than 12 months late, a further 5% penalty, being another £500, will also be charged. Finally, as the return is not submitted within 12 months and Doug deliberately withheld information necessary to assess the tax due, an additional maximum penalty of 70% of the tax due will apply. This will be £10,000 times 70%, being £7,000. This penalty may be reduced to 35% for any disclosure. The maximum total penalties are therefore £9,000. That concludes this initial session on the administration of inheritance tax. In the next session, we will look at payment of tax and the instalment option.